Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, C.H. Spurgeon once said that if we want to bring up a godly family who shall be a seed to serve God when our heads are under clods of dirt in the valley, then let us seek to train them up in the fear of God by meeting together as a family for worship. Well, family worship is the vitally important subject I want to look with you this morning. For if we are the kind of parents that we ought to be, then as Spurgeon says, we should have a desire above all else to bring up a godly family, to see our children grow up to fear God and walk with Him. But if that is our hope and desire, then we must seek to meet together as families from day by day to worship God in our homes with our children, and to instruct them during these times so that they are nurtured in the Christian faith. Because remember, as the writer of the Proverbs reminds us, children must be trained up in the way that they should go. And therefore, if we truly want to see our children going in the right direction in life and coming to embrace the God of the covenant and the rich promises He holds out to them in baptism of life and blessedness, if they will follow on to know Him by faith, then we must make it a priority to be consistent and faithful in committing to hold regular times of devout family worship and instruction in our homes, as indeed we've promised to do at the baptism of our children. And to encourage you to do so then, to go on doing so, I want to consider two things about family worship with you this morning. And the first thing I want to think about is the importance of family worship. And then secondly, I want to focus on how we are to implement family worship in our homes. Well, firstly then, let us consider the importance of family worship. And by family worship, I simply mean the regular and intentional act of the head of a home in gathering together all of the members of their household or family to worship God through the devout reading and study of God's Word, through prayer to God, and in singing praises to the glory of God. Now, before we go any further, I should mention that some people have objected to the idea of family worship or a formal time for worship and teaching in the home on the grounds that there is no verse in Scripture which explicitly commands this practice. And that is certainly true. But what I want you to see is that there are many passages of Scripture which clearly imply that this practice is an important duty that we ought to perform. And I will mention just a few of them at present. Take, for instance, the example of Abraham, the father of the faithful and the friend of God. Well, what are we told concerning him in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 18? He is commended there by God as the spiritual head of his home for using the authority God had given him as such to enforce the duties of family religion by commanding his children and the members of his household to worship God by keeping the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice. And friends, if we claim to be Abraham's seed, as believers are described in Galatians chapter 3, well then, will we not follow in his footsteps as fathers and heads of households by carrying out the weighty duty of conducting family worship in our own homes? Because you see, as fathers and husbands, we are called to act as stewards of our children and the members of our household. For God has placed us in a position of authority and accountability to lead and guide them in the ways of the Lord. We see that principle in the two passages we read earlier, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also again in Psalm 78, where it is very clearly the responsibility of the father as the head of the home, through focused and general instruction, to ensure that those under their care are taught and instructed as to what God requires of us, if it is to go well with us and our loved ones. Or consider one other example from the Old Testament of the responsibility of the head of the home to lead his family in the way of true godliness. Think of Joshua. What do we read of him? Well, we're told in verse 15 of chapter 24 of the book of Joshua that Joshua's fixed determination, his resolve in life, was to see to it that he and his household would faithfully serve the Lord and that nothing would be allowed to hinder the spiritual well-being of his family, regardless of what others might choose to do. Because you see, Joshua and Abraham and every godly father understands that the home is to be an incubator for the cultivation of godliness in its members, and that it is the solemn task of fathers and husbands then to do all they can to lead their families in worshiping and serving the living God in the home. That's why one author says that the spiritual atmosphere and long-term personal welfare of the family, it will be affected in large measure by the fidelity or failure of the family head in this area. But friends, it's not just the Old Testament that establishes the importance of family worship and our need to pass on to the next generation the faith, our faith through this practice. There are also numerous places in the New Testament which clearly demonstrate the importance of this as well. Think of the words of verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, where again Paul is reminding fathers, they're not to provoke their children to wrath, but they are to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Or if you go back a little into Ephesians chapter 5, in the case where there may not even be any children present in the home, nevertheless, the biblical responsibilities of the husband to his wife outlined there, they also necessitate some kind of daily family worship. For if you read that chapter, you'll see the assumption in that chapter is that the husband is instructing and leading from the Word of God. He's using that Word to nourish and comfort and disciple his wife. And when Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 about husbands loving their wives so that when they pray together, their prayers may not be hindered, is he not also assuming family worship is going on and husbands and wives are regularly praying together? Well, friends, there are numerous other places in Scripture which clearly imply the importance of daily family worship. But I trust that you can see from the various verses that we've just mentioned, God's will for his people is that they and their families do regularly worship him in their homes in a planned and structured and systematic way. Because, friends, God desires to be at the center of our homes and all that we do. And in a world where it is so easy to become distracted by other things that have the tendency to draw our hearts away from God, it's vitally important that we do come together as families to daily refocus our minds and our thoughts upon what truly matters in life by holding a regular time of family worship and devotion together. If you see, family worship is designed by God to be an indispensable instrument for instilling within us a daily consciousness of the Lord and all of His Word and all of His our duties one toward another. And family worship is important then to assure that the focus of our families remains what it ought to be as we seek to come together to grow in our knowledge of God and things divine. But family worship is also important in that it helps to bind families together. For you see, when we're rightly relating to God, then we're far more likely to relate rightly to one another. And in our fast-paced, fast-moving society, there are a few things, sadly, that families actually do together on a daily basis anymore. Even eating a meal together these days can be a challenge for many families. But you see, in gathering together daily for worship, we not only remind ourselves of what is most important in life, but we are also able to strengthen our family ties. We're able to build closer relationships with one another. Because you see, family worship allows us time to pray together, to promote an atmosphere of love and openness in which we can actually grow together as we learn to share one another's burdens and cares, and seek wisdom from God as to how to navigate all of the daily challenges of life together in a broken world. But family worship is also important in that it trains our children for times of corporate worship. Because you see, as our children learn the discipline of sitting and listening to the Word of God being read and discussed in our homes, they hear prayers being offered up to God, they sing the Psalms and other songs, then they are being prepared for extended times of worship outside the home on a Sunday or at other times. And they are better placed then to understand what they hear at church, to join in the worship in an intelligent way. But furthermore, family worship is an important means to encourage our children to put their trust in God and to walk with Him. For you see, when they see their parents delighting in God and His worship day by day, taking the Bible seriously in the home, seeking to apply it to all of life, then they will know that worship and devotion to God, it's not just something that they associate with Sundays. Rather, they'll see that it is something that is living. It is something that is real in the lives of their parents, which they simply cannot ignore. And friends, we need to remember that there is no faking it with our children. A child can easily see what is truly important to their parents by their attitudes and the things that they give their time and energy to. And they're able to tell if the pursuit of money or leisure or entertainment or sport or whatever else is more important to their parents than their devotion to God and Jesus Christ. And the likelihood is that whatever or whoever is precious to you as a parent, the same will be precious to your children. For remember, children are largely creatures of imitation, loving to copy what they see in others. And how we need to be living, breathing examples of genuine godliness to our children then, so that we can live with a clear conscience before them, that even though we may not be perfect parents, nevertheless we can put our heads on our pillow at night in the knowledge that they will not be able to rise up in the day of judgment. Accuse us of setting a bad example to them and of failing to take seriously the vows that we uttered at their baptism, too diligently bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And how we ought to make it our aim to be able to say then, as the Puritan Robert Bolton did on his deathbed to his children, "I do believe that not one of you will dare to meet me at the tribunal of Christ in an unregenerate state, for he knew that he had with a good conscience lived before them and faithfully taught them the ways of the Lord." Well, let us seek as parents then to take to heart the importance of family worship. Let us seek to ensure that we do implement it in our families on a daily basis so that we can pass on our faith to the next generation by teaching our children how to read and understand the Scriptures, how to pray to God, how to sing praises to His great name. For these are the three basic elements of worship. And that brings us then in the second place to think more about how we go about actually implementing the practice of family worship in our homes. For as Professor Donald Whitney says in his book on family worship, "Bringing up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it's not something that is accomplished unintentionally and incidentally." And he says, yes, it should and it will happen throughout the day at unplanned, serendipitous, or opportune occasions. But it should also happen purposefully. And he says, without some regularity and structure and purpose then, it's one of those things that we assume we're doing, but we never actually do. But consistent father-led family worship is one of the best, steadiest, and most easily measurable ways, he says, to bring up children in the Lord's discipline and instruction. And that is a reminder again to all of us as fathers as to the responsibility we have and that God will hold us accountable for, to see to it that devout family worship takes place in our homes. And as an aside then, I challenge those of you who are fathers, as you think about God's will for you in your job, whether you are considering a new one, working out your schedule in your current one, to ask yourself, can you take this job or this promotion or this additional duty and still faithfully fulfill your divine mandate as the head of your home, to lead your household in the practice of regular daily family worship? Well, the Bible clearly teaches the responsibilities of fathers and husbands to lead in their homes. And I trust that that is something that all of us here as fathers are seeking to do consistently and well. And that leads me then to the first thing I want to mention about the implementation of family worship. And that is very simply that it is to be performed consistently. And by that I mean every day. And ideally, it should be conducted twice a day, in the morning and the evening, if at all possible. But of course, I recognize every family is different. And so it is up to the head of the home to determine what works best for everyone. But friends, it's important that we do schedule a regular time in our day when everybody knows that that is the recognized and established time for family worship. And we should endeavor as much as possible to stick to it. For our children need to understand that family worship is the most important activity of the day and that it shouldn't be interrupted by anything else. And that means that when we do come to together for family worship. We should put away all distractions. We should be focused on what it is that we're doing. And therefore, you need to make sure the television is switched off, that all cell phones are out of people's hands, that they are out of sight, and that no one ever answers their phone during family worship, except in the case of a real emergency. And moreover, every individual member of the family should be involved in the worship. And those who can read, then they should have a Bible of their own to follow along with when the Bible is being read. Of course, it can be a good idea to assign various portions of the Bible, the chapter that's being read, to your children or your wife even, to ensure that everyone is following along and they remain engaged. When it comes to the reading of the Bible, I would encourage you, it's a good idea to use a useful study Bible, some other aid, to help you better understand what it is that you're reading, how it applies to your life and those of the other members of the family. And of course, it's going to be a helpful exercise as the head of the home to offer a brief word of explanation throughout the reading of the Bible as necessary, especially when it comes to words or concepts that our children may struggle to understand. And try to engage your children or your spouse when you are reading the Bible by asking questions about what the text is saying, what it means, how we should live and act in light of what it is saying. And friends, above all, make sure you pray about what you are reading and ask God continually to give you understanding of His Word, grace to go on to live and walk in its light, to take to heart, to put into practice what it is that you're reading and learning. But friends, don't just pray about what you read. Make sure that you pray prayers of adoration to God for who He is. Pray prayers of confession for sin. Ask for forgiveness from your family members for any wrongs that you may have committed against them. Pray daily prayers of thanksgiving to God for the many blessings which He daily pours into our lives as individuals and as families. And pray prayers of supplication to God for your particular needs. And don't forget to pray for spiritual as well as physical needs. And take the time to ask your children or your spouse about what it is that you can pray for them. Make it your habit to bring all of these things, however small and insignificant they may seem to be, to bring them all to God in prayer like a little child, recognizing your dependence upon Him for life and breath and everything else. For friends, prayer is the means by which we call down God's blessing upon ourselves and our loved ones. It's the means that by which we keep the devil and sin at bay. It's why, as Thomas Brooks the Puritan has said, a family without prayer is like a house without a roof, open and exposed to all the storms of heaven. But then lastly, it's also good practice in family worship to sing praises to God by singing the Psalms and other doctrinally pure songs in our homes. As the psalmist reminds us in verse 15 of Psalm 118, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents or dwelling places of the righteous. Not simply that it ought to be, but it is. And the sound of rejoicing and praise and song to God, it should rise from our homes then on a daily basis. And remember that singing is also an effective means to promote devotion to God. Very often singing, it helps to warm our hearts, to stir up the graces of the Spirit of God within us. And it's also a good way to teach ourselves and our children the rich theology of the Bible through songs which express the wonderful love of God for His people, the love of Christ, what He has accomplished for us, and how we should live in response to these things. Well, our time is gone, but I trust that you see something of the value and the importance of family worship in the home from what we have already said. And I want to encourage those of you who may be negligent in this area to take to heart these things, to begin afresh, to implement this practice faithfully in your home if you haven't been, and ask for God's help to enable you to persevere in it. Ask Him to enable you to find delight and joy in the practice of family worship. For there will be moments that when it seems just like a chore, and that perhaps little fruit is seeming to result from it. But friends, keep on going on. Keep on gathering with your family or your spouse in worship in your home. For remember, God has promised that He rewards those who diligently seek Him, who persevere in the path of duty, even when it is not always easy to do so. Well, may God give all of us strength to make family worship a priority in our homes and in our families then. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we do pray that You would help us to be faithful stewards in our homes and in our families, especially as fathers and husbands. We pray, Lord, that we would take seriously our callings in life as the heads of our home, to lead our families in the way that You would have them to go, to instruct them and teach them and lead them to a knowledge of You, the one living and true God. And we do pray for every family here, for every head of each household here, that all of us would take seriously what it is that we are instructed in Your Word to do, to regularly conduct the practice of family worship in our homes, to educate our children, to pour into them, to invest time and energy, to bring them to see that one thing in life is truly needful, to be found in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that You would deliver us and keep us from everything that would distract or hinder us from performing this duty. We pray, Lord, that it would be more than just a duty. It would be a joy and a delight for us to have set apart times whereby we do come together to worship You, that we would see that that is the very end for which we have been created. We are created to worship You and praise You, to know You and delight ourselves in You, and that family worship is one of the means to bring us to do so. And we ask, Lord, then that You would bless this message, apply it to all of our hearts. And we pray for those who, all of the young men in the congregation who are hoping, no doubt, to marry, to set up a home, that they would see that now is the time to be preparing to become a husband and a father. And we pray for each of these young men that they wouldn't trifle away the opportunity that singleness provides to equip themselves, to be educated, to be instructed in the ways of the Lord so that they might pass that on to future generations. Be with all of us, we ask. Hear us now. Forgive our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.